Good morning. Glad you could join me this morning. How's the week been for you? You spent any time with the Word of God? You getting any deeper into the Word of God? Have you grown any this week? I hope you have. I hope you've taken seriously the things we've been talking about here on the broadcast. I hope you've taken it seriously. That is your responsibility to study the Word of God, to get deeper into it, to understand more so that you can grow more. You see, as you grow and mature as a Christian, you are enhancing your worth, as it were, in the service of God. The more you know about the Word of God, the more potential you have as being a resource that God call on in bringing you together with somebody else who's going to have the questions, who's going through something that you understand in a proper biblical perspective. The more you know, the more usable you become to God. That is, of course, if you're putting it into practice. If you're just, you know, scratching an academic itch, then you're probably worthless anyway. But I hope you've been studying the Word of God. I hope these broadcasts have been a blessing to you. And also, I mentioned earlier in the week that I'd like for you to drop me a line. I hope you've done that. And if you haven't, get on it. Get with the program here. I need to hear from you. I'm not asking for your money. I want to know, are you listening? I want to know your feelings, your insights, your gripes, your concerns, whatever, concerning the broadcast. Is there some way you think that it can be improved? Now, I'm not going to guarantee, you know, I'm going to do everything that you suggest. For instance, if I say, how could it be improved? And some smart aleck says, well, get a different speaker. I'll probably not pay much attention to that one. But if there's some way that we can make this program more effective, more efficient in getting the Word of God to you in a form that you understand it, where it's applicable, where you're being challenged and pushed and nagged, if you will, if that's necessary, to grow. I realize that individuals in this case can't help it, but sometimes you'll find a family who has a little child, comes home from the hospital, and the little fellow never grows. He's a dwarf. There's a physical problem, and it just doesn't grow tall like his brothers and sisters or like the kids down the street. And there's a special set of problems there with a little fellow like that, both for the family and for him. Now, I think, in one sense, that's sad. I'm not saying you'll stand around and say, oh, you poor thing, because, you know, you got to go on with life. But for a Christian, I find it even more sad, this spiritual dwarfism that seems to be so commonplace in American Christianity. It's like all the goody from the Word of God never gets to them. It's like all the meat of the Word, the milk of the Word, the bread. It's all the nutrition that they need is provided in the Word of God so that they can grow and mature into healthy, vibrant Christian witnesses. But if they're not taking it in, they don't grow, and they stay spiritual runts. And all across America, my friend, you find congregation after congregation of spiritual runts. It's sad. It's tragic. You can point the finger at the pulpit and you say it's the preacher's fault. And in many cases, you're exactly right. But it's also the fault of the people for putting up with it. My friend, if you are in a situation where you're not growing and there's nothing you can do to change the situation, then get out of it. It doesn't make any difference who's buried out back. I find, by and large, a lot of people go to churches that are dead, that have apostatized from the truth years ago. But rather than leave, they stay. Well, you know, I was here. This has always been our church. And you got family buried out back in the cemetery. So what? So what? Your obligation is not to the dead, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's your greater allegiance? To a building and a set of memories of something that is gone and dead? Or do you owe allegiance to your Lord? Do you owe a sense of responsibility? Do you owe a debt to your family, to your children, to see to it that they're exposed to the Word of God on a regular basis? being challenged and taught the Scripture? Well, you'll have to answer that for yourself. I don't know you. I don't know your situation. But if in any way I can be a help to you, please drop me a line and let me know. Okay? All right. Now then, let's go back, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. Yesterday we were in verse 19. I want to pick it up there again and continue with that and finish the chapter if I can. Maybe even get into chapter 4. Most people who have been listening to me for any length of time probably snicker at that because I don't make the fastest progress in the world. In one sense, maybe I should apologize for that, but in another way, I don't, because there is so much in the Scripture that people just pass over because they don't pay any attention to what's going on. I'd rather take the time, not set any speed records for how quick we're getting through a study. I value more what we're getting out of the study, not how quickly we can accomplish it. All right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now keep in mind, this is one of a series of things that Paul is praying for on behalf of the church at Ephesus. He has prayed that they might be strengthened with might in by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in their hearts by faith, that they're rooted and grounded in love, being able to comprehend with all saints the length, height, and breadth, etc., of that love. Now, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, passes, that is, that surpasses, that transcends, that exceeds or excels knowledge. The love of Christ excels or surpasses knowledge. What does that mean? My friend, it means the more you learn about the love of Christ, the more you realize there's so much more you don't understand. There's so much more to be dug out. There's so much more to be experienced, that ye may know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled. Now notice this statement. This is wow. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now the word filled, we'll deal with that one first, comes from a Greek word that means full measure, to fill to the top so that nothing shall be wanting to full measure. If you take a glass of water, fill it. Is it really full? You saw plenty more, I'll spill it. Well, now take an eyedropper and squeeze out one drop of water. If that thing is absolutely full, if you're on one side of the glass and you put that drop in carefully, you will notice that on the other side of the glass or somewhere, there will be a drop of water that slips out, runs down the side. Now, if it doesn't, even though you use the term loosely, oh, that's a full glass of water, it wasn't completely full. If it is completely full, one drop in will produce one drop out. Notice, please, that you can know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled, absolutely full, with all the fullness of God. You look that up in a commentary, and if it's a conservative, if it's a sound commentary, you'll find something like this for fullness. The presence of power, agency, and riches of God made available by Christ. The presence of the power and agency and riches of God and the riches of Christ. He says that you may be filled with all of this. Now, my friend, I want you to take a clear-eyed view of yourself. Take inventory. I'm not saying, have you ever had a shouting fit? I'm not saying, have you been filled with the Spirit? I am asking you, have you been filled with the fullness of God? Now, I realize there's some people that would hear a statement like that or a question like that and say, yeah, or they would set out to achieve some state of awareness, some state of nirvana, some ecstatic feeling. So that they say, oh, yes, yes, I've been filled with all the fullness of God. Now, sometimes you'll hear people say that and you just won't laugh in their face, except for the fact they're serious and they think they know what you're talking about. But you watch the life and you know it's not so. How can so many people be so ignorant about the Word of God as to think that they are this or that when there is no evidence to support the claim? And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Full of God. Think about it, Christian. You spend some time meditating on that, and that'll change your life. Now, we come to a benediction. That'd be the proper way of saying it. It's a blessing. It sounds like the ending of a prayer. And in a sense, it is. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. In the church. You know, when you look at contemporary Christianity today, you got to ask yourself the question, who's being glorified? You have some special music being performed. Who gets the glory? It appalls me how many church services held in churches with special music going on where the congregation will applaud the performance when the singers are done. That's not right. There was a time when Christians knew not to do that, because there's something about applause that turns a performer from being a servant of the Lord, doing something for the Lord, to doing something for people and for their evaluation, for the applause, for their approval. Hey, I did good. Didn't you hear the way they... Boy, that was a lot of applause. That lasted a long time. They really liked that. And you see how easy it is to shift the attention away from the focus that ought to be there. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The word worketh means to be operative, to work for one, to aid one. The power that works in us. Now, what power is that? My friend, you don't have any power of your own. So where does this power come from? Well, Paul has prayed in verse 16 that they might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I came so close to finishing this chapter today, and it just isn't going to happen. Out of time. I'm going to have to come back to it on the next broadcast. I hope you'll join me then. And as I said, drop me a line. Let me know your thoughts about this series of broadcasts. Be glad to hear from you. See you next time.